This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KIFM West Sacramento. KRXQ HD2 Sacramento.
ESPN 1320. Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil spinning on the ones and twos. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. We'll wrap up our Western Conference tiers. We've got to get to the bottom of the West here in a second. But you said something interesting before the commercials about the Kings not knowing that they're a team that's just trying to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I think Kings fans feel that they're just trying to get to the finish line. The Kings themselves, I don't think that they know. Like, they still think of themselves as a good team that hasn't figured it out yet. Hmm. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm off base here, but like,
that's the vibe you get.
Yeah, when like we had the one night where, you know, Zach LaVine talked about the vibes being down, but I literally think that that was because they had just lost a game and he had to go talk to the media and the vibes weren't up because they had just lost again, right? You talk to everybody else and they're like, no, the vibes aren't down. We still love each other. We still pull in the same direction. Sure. We're still trying to get wins. I don't think that they know why it is that they keep failing, and that's a problem in itself.
And listen to this radio program, we'll tell them.
That's true. It's very, very true. But at the same time, like, look, I don't think that they believe that they're a horrible team. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they believe that if somehow they were to get into a playoff series, that they've got as good a shot as anybody, which, again, I don't agree with. You don't agree with. Most Kings fans don't agree with. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change that that's who they believe they are. And so, okay. But, yeah, I think, like, when we look at this list, you're right. Phoenix is like, can we just please, can someone just, like,
those
end this thing?
Those dudes hate each other.
Yeah, they're like, hey, can you just, like, blow this thing up right now? Like, we're all not just planning our vacation. We're planning, like, we got the movers coming because we don't know where we're moving to, but we're not going to be here.
We're packing up.
We are packing up.
There's at least one Kings fan who believes that they can win a playoff series, and that's our guy Joe in Elk Grove. He's on line one. What's up, Joe?
First of all, last night an underdog, Corbin Carroll, hit home run winner. Rooker hit home run winner. Today, I'm taking Lawrence Butler to hit a home run.
Nice. Oh. Love that for you.
He's due. Okay. He's due.
He is due.
Okay, and my next thing, Mr. Hamm, we're not out of it, the Kings. Here's how it goes. Either Minnesota or the Clippers get that fifth seed, the sixth seed, and drop Memphis into the play-in. Minnesota beats Memphis. Memphis loses. Kings beat the Mavs. Kings play Memphis. Kings beat Memphis. Kings go to Oklahoma City, win in six.
Ipso facto, Kings in the playoffs. Playoff run.
Kings in the second round.
Joe, you're calling a second round. Joe. Wow.
Hey, Joe.
Shout out, Joe.
Is he gone?
Yeah.
No,
that's fine.
I was expecting Joe to throw some more flames on this Ja Morant fire that he started.
He did. He started this.
He's the guy who started all of it a couple of weeks ago with the talk that Ja Morant. And who was the other guy that the Kings would be trying to get? There were two.
I don't remember the other one.
I definitely remember
John Collins.
It might have been John Collins.
Okay, I remember John Morant 100%. Like that was he
I
called in
the other one.
Yeah, anyways. Interesting. I have been told I had a conversation with somebody who said that the Kings were really never in on John Collins this year. That they were close to getting John Collins a couple of years ago when he was with Atlanta, and all they had a deal on the table and they just didn't get the deal done at the end of the day. It wasn't them not trying to get the deal done. The deal never like materialized past their offer.
Yeah.
But that they did not have conversations this summer, even though that is counter to many things that I've heard outside of the walls.
Yeah, Joe in Elk Grove did say he bet on the Kings to beat the Thunder in six. Man Fastlane said at the break, with the right roster the Kings can run, with most of them talking about the teams in the West that they would face. And I don't like that's what's kind of like, the frustrating part about this Kings team.
Yeah.
Is like, I don't think there's a scenario where they go beat Oklahoma City in a playoff series. Well, he's not a fully healthy OKC team. And that's not a knock on the Kings. That's just, I don't think anybody in the West is going to beat OKC.
Yeah.
But if you told me, hey, they figured it out. They had to go on the road to Dallas, but figured it out, and they beat Dallas, and then they beat whatever team. It doesn't even have to be Memphis. Maybe they beat the Clippers. Maybe they beat Minnesota. Maybe they beat Golden State. They beat them in the second play-in game, and they were the 8th seed. Sure, man. Because we've seen this version of the Kings play some really high-quality basketball. It's there. But I don't think that their current pieces, A, are enough to make any kind of real playoff run, but B, can do it consistently. And if you told me, yeah, hey, the Kings played really consistent high-level basketball for 2 weeks, then yeah, they win the play-in, and they give OKC a little bit of a series. But the problem is not how well can they play. It's, okay, we know they can get here. Now, can they plateau there? Or it's just constantly waiting for the valley once they peak.
Well, I also think that the problem that we have with this current team is that they can win a half, they can win three quarters, but then they fall apart. Or they can show up one night and you just look at them like, oh my gosh. I mean, we saw it last week with the Blazers. They beat the socks off the Blazers. I mean, just like the shooting percentage, one of the highest percentages that they've had. Well, it's the highest they've had in 20-something years, but overall, it was like, holy cow, look how good they are. And then they come out and they just don't play at all in Orlando. And then they come back out and they have a really good game against the Indiana Pacers. But again, now they're a team trying to figure out how to win again. They're back at step three at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And so we just don't know. Are you going to get the blow-you-out team, the get-blown-out team, or the make-a-mistake-or-two down the stretch team? And so, you get into a 7-game series, they could open that series and beat Oklahoma City by 25 in the first game. And everyone's like, uh-oh, what did we just see? The next 2 games, they could literally not show up at all.
Yep.
And just get blasted.
Yep.
And that's what I would expect. Like, this inconsistency of this roster, of this team, of everything that's happened this year, it just feels like they are so incredibly fragile.
That's it. It's a house of cards.
Yes.
Just every game, you try and build it up. God, nobody breathe on it. And all comes crashing down.
Yep.
So again, that's why like we're gonna keep talking Kings. We're gonna be locked in. We've got Kings Wizards tonight. And we're gonna watch it and we're gonna try and take stuff away from it. But based on, you know, years and years of watching basketball and you years and years of covering basketball, you just kind of see what a team is. And it's very, very rare, nay, has never happened, that 76 games into a year, that Tiger changes its stripes.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be wild?
It would be. It would be unprecedented.
It's crazy because they have every opportunity to get momentum right now. They do. Mm-hmm. They've got two... not just winnable games, like these are games that you almost would have to try to lose.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Wizards and the Hornets back to back. Not even back to back. They've got a game on Wednesday and a game on Friday, but 2 games in a row, you got two of the worst teams in the league by a long shot. And like LaMelo Ball isn't playing right now for Charlotte. Exactly. Like you're going to look at a young Washington team that, you know, traded two of their better players at the deadline and like realistically are cashing it in. Plus isn't Coulibaly out?
I believe so.
He's out for the season.
They just lost to Miami by 26.
Yeah, it's just not a good team.
Yeah.
It's not a good team at all. So what we're looking at here, though, is an opportunity to get two wins, get to a game within 500, and then you have the Cavs, the Pistons, and Nuggets, the Clippers, the Suns to finish this thing off. Like, I don't know what team we're going to get from one night to the next in those final five games. I don't. And they could win three of those games. They could also lose all five and just get embarrassed and not make the play-in. But it's
the uncertainty. It's the uncertainty that kills you.
I've covered so many different versions of this team.
Just this year?
Yes. But over 15 years, I've never seen a version like this. Most of the time, you know, walking into the stadium, they're just not very good. And most likely they're losing by 12 tonight. Most likely they're losing by 6 tonight. Mm-hmm. You have that idea of what's going to happen in each game. Or, hey, this isn't a very good team. I think the Kings will win by, 7. Mm-hmm. And I'm not usually off by that much. Mm-hmm. This season, who knows, man?
It changes, like you said, quarter to quarter.
I expect them to walk into these next two games at, my expectations, no one else's, is that they're going to win each of these by 20. The Washington and Charlotte game, they'll win both games by 20, and it won't even be close. Mm-hmm. And again, fans are going to be like, oh. I mean, it might be enough to put the Suns away where the Suns are like, okay, we're done.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just running out of games.
Yeah.
You hope so. Just lock in that play-in spot at least. Finishing up tiers.
Yeah.
We said the can this season be over already tiers, Phoenix and Sacramento. Tier 6 is the A for effort tier. That's the Portland Trail Blazers. Super thumbs up, Blazers. They're still trying to win, kinda. Their young guys are at least playing hard. Jeremy Grant hasn't been playing. DeAndre Ayton's been out, right?
Yeah.
But the young guys, Chauncey Billups still coaching them hard. They're still playing hard. They're still trying. I don't think they're going to get to the 10 seed, but A for effort for Portland, because they could have pulled the plug and been awful. And they've at least been kind of competitive.
Yeah.
Shout out to Portland. Tier 6 is everyone else. At San Antonio, New Orleans. They're just kind of there. They're not fully tanking. They're just kind of, San Antonio is now.
Yeah, San Antonio pulled the plug when De'Aaron Fox, when they decided to shut De'Aaron Fox down. Yeah. And that was always expected.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised by that. They're worried about draft picks more than they are anything else. And they don't even have, their own draft pick is not going to be very good.
One, two,
three, four, five, six, seven.
But they got that unprotected Atlanta pick.
The eighth pick, I think, is where they're at.
Then tier 7 is the Jazz. The Jazz don't get to hang out with everyone else. They're by themselves. Or tier 8, whatever that is.
I wish the NBA had like a anonymous 1-800 number you could call and like say, hey, the Jazz are tanking.
Yeah, dude.
Excuse me, the Jazz seem to be
the tanking. NBA tanking snitch line?
Yeah. Use like a Darth Vader voice.
Remember when they did that during the pandemic in the bubble? They had the snitch hotline? Where if you saw somebody doing some stuff they weren't supposed to be doing with COVID.
Is that how Rashawn Holmes got caught getting his chicken wing delivery?
I forget.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, dude.
That was hilarious.
That's so funny. It was Rashawn Holmes.
It was not hilarious for him because he got quarantined for 10 days in his room.
Yes.
And went stir crazy.
I can imagine.
I talked to him afterwards about it and was like, dude. There's nowhere to go. My room is only so big. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Horrible.
So it happens.
Yeah.
Hope the chicken wings were good.
That's why you don't DoorDash.
Good Lord. Yeah, but no, there was a snitch hotline you could call in case you saw somebody getting chicken wings or bringing somebody in or whatever it was. I remember we had a drop at the old station I was at, 95.7 The Game, our sister station in San Francisco. We had a drop of, I forget who it was, but they did a video that was, he went, don't call the snitch hotline.
I would love to call and,
excuse me, I think the Utah Jazz are intentionally losing basketball games.
Can somebody call and just like throw them under the bus.
They're like, yeah, no, we know.
Yeah. We know. You're not the first call.
The hell with the Jazz, bro. They're the worst team in the West, and they shouldn't be. They're way too talented to be the worst team in the West. They're purposely losing, pulling guys back and not playing. The hell with the Jazz. I hope their tanking doesn't work out. If they're rewarded with Cooper Flagg, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm going to be super angry. Yeah.
Do the opposite of the cold envelope.
Like a hot envelope? What
the hot. Yeah, like,
that. Oh, that one hurts. Let me go to a different one. Yeah.
The hell is in that envelope? Anyways. The A's lost again last night. The Kings play the Wizards tonight. I want to talk about torpedo bats. I've not gotten to do that yet. And we talked about John Morant. Should the Kings be getting involved in that conversation this summer? We'll talk about that next as well. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's over there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube's the sponsor of the program. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. Joe Brazil's in the other room. Rocking with you until noon. D'Lo and KC coming up at noon. Quick programming note, tomorrow, 5:45, not 4 o'clock, 5:45, the NIT Men's Basketball Championship, that is... Chattanooga v. UC Irvine.
All right.
Fired up. Can't wait. The A's lost again last night, 7-4 at Sutter Health Park. Ball's flying out of there, man. It's funny because typically when a home run travels out of a ballpark, it reaches stands. But because of Sutter Health Park's construction, there's no stands, specifically out to like left center and left field, where most of the power is for right-handed hitters. Brent Rooker's home run looked like it went 6 miles.
I don't understand why they weren't able to figure out a way to add stands, grandstands. I mean, because, like, look, the park is small, so it only seats 14,000, right? Mm-hmm. And... basically, what you've done is supply and demand has driven up ticket prices outlandishly. And I think a lot of people all of a sudden are like, hey, I don't think I want to go to a game and pay X amount of dollars right now. Prices mm-hmm. are already starting to come down. But why you wouldn't have, like, again, they tore out a bunch in right field to add a bathroom, right? Mm-hmm. They did. That was one thing that they had to do. Mm-hmm. Why they didn't just level the hill and put in stands there, why they didn't build stands over the top of the buildings in left field, I just don't get it.
I would assume there's like a horizontal space problem that comes with that, and then I would also assume there's cost involved.
Well, I agree, but I mean, we've all been to the Oakland Coliseum a bunch of
times,
right?
We've also all been to Rivercats games, and if you add 10,000 more seats...
No, that's true. You're not going to be able to
concrete might start cracking, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's more... That's one, you know, you worry about just like the overall building itself. But I think the bigger concern is like, how are you going to be able to handle the concessions and all that stuff?
This is the other thing, according to Manny, time constraints. Like they had a pretty...
No, I get that, how much time does it take to put in grandstands?
Level a hill and throw grandstands up while trying to do everything else they're doing? Probably quite a bit.
A different construction.
Plus, in left field, isn't the clubhouse in left field?
Well, yeah, but why can't you build grandstands over the top of the clubhouse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Players got to go out there?
I don't know. Like, maybe. Maybe there's a... Yeah. I just look at when I...
We'll ask Vivek next time we see him.
When you watch a home run go out to left field and it just, like, hits off the top of a building, it's like... Why is there not anything out there? And
it's a Triple A stadium, dog.
No, I that's true.
Because this is what they signed up for.
No, totally, totally. I agree. I just like if I'm someone who is trying to capitalize on the fact that you have Major League Baseball in Sacramento for a couple of years.
Sure.
I would have considered ways to do this stuff.
Maybe they do it this offseason. Maybe they're assessing here and they're coming up to the same conclusions you are.
Yeah.
And they go, great, now that we've got all these other little things out of the way, new lights in and all these things to make it major league compliant, mm-hmm. now we can figure out how to add more stands.
No, maybe.
I wonder, so as you mentioned, you don't think the park is going to be playing this big, James, because you said the wind's been blowing out and this might not be the rest of the season, the park playing this small. I wonder if it continues to play this small, if also when they add seats and whatnot, maybe they push the fences mm-hmm. back even further. And maybe just make them taller. Like it's the right field fence next to the bullpen is insanely short. Like you could probably jump over it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Kyle Tucker could probably hit 100 home runs this season if he just played there. Like,
or if he just played the A's, he kills the A's.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
So
like
I don't know.
Soderstrom with the Mariners.
Yeah.
Like you brought that stat up to him, and then he continued.
Yeah. He hit a tank the next night,
yep.
right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Shout out Tyler Soderstrom, yep. friend of the program.
He's got a hit every single game that he's ever played now still.
Yes. Not had a hit in Seattle.
So I heard that the dimensions of the outfield, uh-huh. the outfield wall, are identical to Oakland's.
Huh.
They're identical. And the point I was making about if you haven't been to the Oakland, if you drive around the backside of the Oakland Coliseum, where a lot of us had the media parking and everything mm-hmm. else for Warriors games, they have... just an entire graveyard of stands.
Yeah.
It seems like you could have repurposed something there to bring him in. And like, I know the expense of it and everything, but like, it seems like there could have been a way to add some of the stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah. And maybe they will after this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll see how it goes. It seemed like last night, there were way fewer people there than there were on opening night, which is expected. Opening night's a big deal. And then it comes down. But maybe that's what they're waiting on too. Before they throw that expense into it, make sure that the demand is there.
Yeah, yeah. I think last night they had 10,000 fans versus 12,000 on opening night. I don't believe the 12,000 number at all. Like to me, that park was absolutely packed. There were maybe two rows of seats that were like six or eight seats where you could see on both sides. Mm-hmm. They were almost in the identical spots on both sides that were empty.
Mm-hmm.
And not two full rows, like only like six or eight seats.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the place was packed. It looked like there are 500 people out in right field on the grass. And so I would be very surprised if the number wasn't closer to full capacity, but they didn't sell it as that.
Yeah,
so,
which is weird.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then, like, look, I think if there's a point where you could do it, I personally, they have those two buildings in left field. Turn those into rooftop bars.
Mm.
Like them like your the apartments in Chicago at Wrigley. Like turn them into that.
Sure.
Because I think that there is an opportunity there to have like a really cool atmosphere out there as well.
Yeah.
Now again, structurally, whether those buildings are built to house that kind of thing or whatever, you're gonna have some question marks. But like, why not?
Yeah. I imagine the weather played a role last night too. It looked cold. it looked like not a great time to be outside on TV.
It was frigid the first
it
night.
It did not look like a good time.
Yeah, standing on concrete like for 2 hours wasn't exactly what my back had in mind for, you know, like that's just not, I'm not built to do that.
If you want to jump on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, it's 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Manny is on the line. What's up, Manny?
What's up, y'all? Hey, so I have a sort of an insight on some of the A stuff only because as a we ran a lot of the fiber that they were trying to upgrade into the building, and I got to go in there a couple of times and see some discussions that were going on, and they definitely had a lot of time constraints that were going on. Permits are always the bane of everybody's existence. I'm trying to get the right permits, and utilities have to clear everything. And those, WESAC was a nightmare with that. So that was a lot of it. I believe once this season finishes, they'll take a lot of that stuff and try to continuously improve on the stadium and do the things they need to do going forward. But this definitely was one of those. Everything has to be done by this date, and this has to be done, and we got to get this up to regulation, and we'll worry about everything else later type thing.
Yeah, that all makes sense. That all makes sense. Yep. Anyway.
Shout out, Manny. Appreciate all your hard work. Is TC still there? No, he's gone. We want to talk a little.
Sorry, TC.
That's fine. We'll transition back to basketball. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil. In the building as well. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. A's Cubs series finale today, 12:35 at Sutter Health Park. You're going?
No. I was going to go, and then for some reason I had the schedule mixed up for the Kings, and I thought it was way later. So I can't make it back somewhere to watch the game and to come on for my 3-4 hit on D'Lo and Casey.
Right on. We'll get to Kings Wizards in a second. Actually, you know what? We'll just do Kings Wizards now. That's fine.
Okay.
Kings play the Wizards tonight. I think Washington has very quietly, they're not good. Don't get it twisted. Don't put it in the newspaper that I think the Washington Wizards are good. I just think they're kind of a little bit worth watching, which is a substantial change for them from earlier in the year. And again, they're not like great, but Alex Sarr has been playing a lot better. Jordan Poole is kind of starting to figure his life out a little bit. Marcus Smart is there, that kind of veteran. Justin Champagne is a player I know they like a lot. He's actually getting to play. You mentioned Bilal Coulibaly. He'd been playing pretty well. He is now out. I think Alex Sarr specifically and Jordan Poole are two players worth keeping an eye on tonight. Just when you're taking in the Wizards basketball experience. It's not going to be pretty. They're probably going to lose by a lot of points. But those are two players. If you're looking for, like, hey, are the Wizards going to be a factor at all anytime in the near future? Those are two guys that make me think they might be a factor.
Yeah. I mean, Jordan Poole, like, last time out, scored 35 points. The problem is that no one else scored. Well, they had Tristan Vukcevic.
Yeah, sure.
Score 14. The rest of the team capped out at 8. Oof. So, Bub Carrington, A.J. Johnson, which I don't even know who that is, Alex Sarr. You know, we've
AJ Johnson's the cat who can jump out of the gym. He got traded with
he's
Chris
the Bucks.
Middleton. Yes.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
It's from upstate.
Yeah.
Remember that? He had the dunk against the Kings last year.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin Herter, like, jumped off the bench.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Jaren got mad about it.
Yep.
Anyways.
Rashawn Holmes times, coming off the bench. Might get to see a little Rich.
Sure.
Yeah, and they do have Marcus Smart, who's just not playing well. Since getting traded there, and you kind of feel for them a little bit, but yeah, they're not very good, and they've lost 8 of their last 9, and some of the defeats are, like, they lost in Indiana Pacers 116-109 in regulation.
162.
162, my bad. 162-109.
They gave up 162 points in a regulation basketball game.
Yeah, that's wild. That's the game where, like, almost every single person on the Pacers that stepped on the floor had double figures. Where they have, like, they had 9 guys in double figures. Yeah, Nembhard had 7
That's
points,
outrageous.
But yeah, just like absolutely crazy. Another, you know, the Pacers shot 64.1% from the field.
Man.
27 of 47 from 3. So, like, look, this is a get right game. Like, get yourself on the right path.
I wanted to just say something nice about the Wizards up top. This is a game the Kings should win by a lot of points, regardless of how the Kings are playing.
Yeah.
You can play a C game tonight and you're winning by 20.
Yeah.
If you play a mid level game, you'll win by 20.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm excited to see what Sabonis can do against their front line. You know, like, this is a game where I would feed Sabonis the whole time. We should probably get into keys.
Yeah, go ahead. Key number one.
The Kings aren't in a place to overlook anyone. Yeah. Like, just straight up. If you overlook somebody, then you just, like, just end the season tonight if you're going to overlook the mm-hmm. Washington Wizards. Like, just, that would be an embarrassment for you to walk in and not take this team serious and not be up by 10 points after the first quarter and 22 after at half and realistically 30 by the end of the game or 28 with a bunch of guys playing that, you know, don't typically play a lot.
Yeah. You can't bank on it with the Kings because who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. But if you come out and play with the appropriate urgency, knowing like, hey, if you want to play after the season is over, you have to win. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, man. You play a B level game, you play an A level game. That's what you start to look at is a 30 plus point win, but you can't throw your jerseys on the court.
Nope.
You don't want to be in a dogfight in this one for sure. Number one for me, ball movement will make scoring easy here, man.
It does.
Not a great defensive team. Alex Starr is a terrific young rim protector, but if you're moving the ball around and making them get into the rotations, they're going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, this just isn't a good team, but go ahead.
Number two.
Mine kind of relates to yours. Stop with the hero ball. Mm. If you see hero ball tonight, if you see something, call somebody. If you see something, say something.
That hotline that you're calling to snitch out the Jazz, call it on the Kings too.
Yeah, just like, hey, like, look, what are you doing? Stop that. Yeah. Go sit down.
Yeah.
Go sit down until you learn how to play the right way again.
Yep.
And so I don't want to see hero ball at all. Even in the last... in the fourth quarter when this game could be a blowout, if you get to step on the court tonight, play the game the right way.
Yeah. Yep. Number two for me, find what's working and then don't go away from it. A little bit in the same vein.
Yeah.
If it's you're feeding Domantas Sabonis, you're getting into pick and rolls and you're hitting him on the roll and he's scoring every time, just do it. Maybe he has 50. It doesn't matter how you score the points. Find what works and keep feeding that thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and that kind of plays into what mine is. It's feed Domas.
No.
He is your best offensive weapon. Mm-hmm. He is the guy that creates for everybody else. Get him the ball and let him do his thing. This whole zero assist last game thing that happened.
Crazy.
That's on the Kings.
Yep.
Like, feed Domas, let him do work. Do not cap him in by just avoiding him, which is what some of these players do. Mm-hmm. Let him make the game easier for everybody.
Yeah, it's a must. When we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. just to kind of zoom this out from tonight's game, when we were talking earlier about a version of the Kings that wins a couple of play-in games and is interesting in the playoffs, it's that. That's the version of it. Mm-hmm. When they do that, the offense flows, it looks good, people are eating, getting open shots. Wow, look at the Kings.
Yep. Pretty simple.
Seems like a good night to, again, not overlooking this team, but this is a team where you can execute those things.
Yeah.
So go do them. They're not going to throw a lot of curveballs at you defensively.
What's your key, Matt, the matchup for the game?
I have a third key real quick.
Oh, my bad.
And it's about Alex Starr. Turns out I'm a big Alex Starr guy.
You are.
I just really, he's been really freaking good over the last couple of months. He's a 7-footer. But he's listed at 7'205". He's 19 years old. He's been cooking. He's going to have a couple of wow plays tonight. You got to get physical with him. I'm imagining Keegan will probably get the first shot on him and play physical defense with him. Knock him off of his spots, make him uncomfortable. He's the one guy who can block a couple of shots and hit a couple of threes, and all of a sudden things are a little dicey. You go out and you force him to have, Miami forced him into 8 points on 3 of 17 shooting. Mm. Make him have one of those nights. Just really, really make sure that this doesn't get interesting.
Yeah, he's not a good rebounder or anything else yet. He does block a lot of shots, mm-hmm. But he's just, you know, he's got 94 blocks on the season. But he's, he's a player that's like under construction.
Mm-hmm.
That, and eventually he's going to be a very good player. You can see it.
Yep.
But he's not there yet.
Not there yet.
And he probably hasn't faced many players like Domantas Sabonis.
Correct. Matchup of the game, Jordan Poole and Keon.
Yeah. I think that they have one player that can score,
mm-hmm.
and you have a player who can probably come close to neutralizing that player.
Yeah. Yeah. But if Jordan Poole is going to go out and go hit a bunch of threes and other guys start knocking down shots, it gets interesting. But I don't know. You shut the faucet off there. You pretty much shut the faucet off entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a team that should struggle to score against you no matter what, even if you are a bad defensive team.
Yep. All right. We got the handoff coming up next. One of D'Lo or Casey will be in. I also had two underdog lineups last night, and I won them both.
Oh, yeah.
My baseball lineup, 3-for-3. I did a lineup for the Warriors-Memphis game. I went 5-for-6 in that one. I'm going to try and dish out another winner for you coming up next as well. Let's win some money together on Underdog. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now Joe Brazil is going to hit the button.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You're dang right. Joe Brazil's here, too. We'll get to the handoff momentarily. We'll talk with one of D'Lo or Casey. Find out what they thought about a wild ass night in the NBA last night. Actually, we'll run our Western Conference tiers by them.
Oh, okay.
See what they think. We mentioned the A's play this afternoon at Sutter Health Park, which means it's time for our underdog lineup of the day. Underdog Daily Fantasy. It is so much fun. It is my favorite way to watch sports, and I think you'll enjoy the heck out of it too. You can win some money just by having takes on sports. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats, which is what I did last night. I went 3-for-3 in my A's Cubs lineup. I went 5-for-6 in my Warriors Grizzlies lineup. Won a little cash. And then here's the lineup I'm rocking with tonight. This afternoon. Kyle Tucker kills the A's. I'm riding that again. Higher than 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs for Kyle Tucker. Jeffrey Springs, the A's starter. I'm going higher than 16.5 pitching outs. I need him to get 2 outs in the 6th inning.
Oh.
All right. 5 innings. Yeah. You need to get 2 outs into the 6th inning. So 5 2/3 is what I need from... is that right? Yeah, 5 2/3. Yeah.
Yeah.
From Jeffrey Springs this afternoon. And then Brent Rooker, I'm going higher than half a home run. I think he's hitting another tank today.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about that.
I'm intrigued to see how the ball flies during the day,
mm-hmm.
Even though it's still cold.
A little chilly today.
Yeah, it's still cold. So kind of like unseasonably cold April for Sacramento.
That's my lineup. Kyle Tucker, higher than 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs. Jeffrey Springs, higher than 16.5 pitching outs. Brent Rooker, higher than half a home run. Would love for you to play along. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Putting together winners, baby.
All right.
I love baseball season. It's the best. There's just games on constantly.
There is so many games. So many games.
Unrelated to anything that I was just talking about with Daily Fantasy, it's time for the handoff. Kenny Caraway in the building. What's going on, Kenny?
What's good, man? What's good? I don't even know how to say this.
Uh-oh.
I'm just going to say, yeah. I was playing Daily Fantasy yesterday myself, right?
Oh, okay.
And I came across just a It's a crazy little prop bet or prop game that they got. At
Square.
Square. It was
projection.
It was half a run in the first inning. I think I might be on that all year long.
Oh, that's buddy, you. Let's chat.
Well, let's do it.
That's the
that was crazy.
The Nerfy, the no run first inning is one of my go tos, bro.
What you call it?
A Nerfy, an NRFI. Or in first inning.
The Nerfy. No,
that's what they call it in Vegas, because in Vegas, where it's gambling, this, of course, is not gambling.
Right.
We're talking about daily fantasy. Very different.
Very.
In Vegas, it's called a Nerfy because you can bet on over or under half a run in the first inning.
Mm.
And it's not there for every game,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the daily fantasy version, because you'll see, like, I know you wouldn't see this, but if it was like a Tarik Skubal versus Blake Skeens. Snell.
Yeah, there you
or
go.
Paul Skeens, yeah. Or somebody like that. Yeah. That it's not going to be available.
Right.
But every once in a while, you'll see one, and you look, and you're like, those two offenses aren't very good.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
I had one yesterday. Yeah. Or, I mean, we'll see what happens, because this is my first.
It happens. A run scores in the first inning more often than you think.
No, I was about to ask you, the percentage is probably, like, if you put that in your lineup, 60% you hit?
Probably better than that.
For me personally, it's probably a little bit better than that. Mm. But yeah, it's not, because like I said, they're so judicious with when they put the entry there and when they don't, that it's probably way closer to 50.
They had once again, like we always say, there's hotels going up every day. So
yes, facts.
I'm sure it's closer to that. But yesterday they had Logan Webb, and then they had a pitcher for the Astros I had never heard of.
Sure.
But I was like, I'll take my chances with Logan Webb. And
yeah,
then,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. So
it's like the old Keegan Murray half a dunk. Like
that one was what, like if you went more.
Oh
like
yeah.
30%.
Oh, it was way more than that.
It like, was
Keegan Murray
it was
half a dunk?
Unbelievable.
And then I would tweet out every single time, Keegan Murray dunk.
Every game. Ridiculous. I want to run our Western Conference tiers by you.
Okay.
Because we've redone them. Did you listen to this earlier?
I was listening. I was listening while I was getting ready.
So we had contender tier one OKC by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
That's fair. That they deserve that.
Yeah.
I got to see it from OKC.
That's fair. That's fair.
And when I say that, we're talking about tier one. We're talking about championship. I'm not talking about can they win a round. We're talking about you win the Western Conference Finals. You can win. I got to see it from them.
Okay.
I think they're a contender. Don't get it wrong. But I got to see it from them, because I want to know what Chet's going to do. I want to know what Jalen Williams is going to do in the postseason.
Sure. Sure. That's fair. To me, they're the clear favorite.
That's fair.
Tier two, these are teams on the fringe, and I'm buying their star power. That's Denver, the Lakers, and Golden State. They're tier two. 2A.
That's fair. I almost want to put the Lakers in the tier by themselves.
Above or below?
Above. I think they're better. I think they're better than those two teams.
You think they're better than Denver?
Yeah.
Mm.
Denver.
Oh.
Denver's cool.
The Lakers, I feel about, and I, a lot of this, and this is why I have, because I have tier 2B, which is on the fringe, but I got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Houston, Minnesota, and the Clippers. Like, I just have kind of significant questions about all three of those teams.
Very fair.
In a way that I don't with the other three. But with the Lakers specifically, I don't know that I trust them to get stops over a 7-game series.
Mm.
I think at some point Jackson Hayes, the amount that they lean on him, is going to come back to bite them in a series at some point.
Mm.
But, I mean, you got LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves playing at a super high level right now. Like, it's a good trio.
I think
in that tier two, by the way,
yeah.
they are – no, I had Denver one. And then Golden State and the Lakers, you can flip them.
I think Denver in that tier, in your tier, Denver and Golden State – would have to play perfect to beat the Lakers for 4 games.
That's interesting.
I don't know if they can do that.
That's interesting.
Denver, you guys like Denver better than I do. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're a championship contender at all. at all. And you want to know? You want to know the strange thing? The really strange thing? I tweeted this out last night. We'll talk about it more too. The Timberwolves, if the Timberwolves matched up against the Thunder or the Nuggets specifically, if you went in that locker room, they would say, oh, we're going to sweep them. Like, we're going to beat their ass. And I don't know what the season series is, but
with them and the Nuggets?
The Nuggets and the Thunder, like, but the combination.
I'm pretty sure they swept the Nuggets.
They feel great against those two teams.
That's interesting.
They're kind of crazy. The Timberwolves are kind of crazy, and I mean that in like a loco way. Like, yeah, they're kind of like, if they were like, oh, we got Denver in the first round, they'd be like, we're the favorites.
Yeah.
We should handle them easily. And they feel that same way about OKC.
They split with OKC.
They swept.
And swept Denver.
And it's, they feel great. Like, that. This, I'm going more so on like when I see them play and how they bounce around in Africa, they feel great against those two teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's going to result in a series win.
Yeah.
But it just, it's notable to me.
That game last night was crazy.
That was a great game, man. Yeah. That was a great game.
I went from watching Steph go for 52-10-8, and I'm like, man, best performance of the night in the association. Turn on that Denver Minnesota game.
Oh,
God.
Man. Luka.
Oh, my God.
Jokic went crazy.
Ant was awesome down the stretch. Yeah, there was so many good, that was so much good shot.
That was a great game. That was a great game. And Russell Westbrook, not the greatest 10 seconds for my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy, but not the greatest 10 seconds. I disagree with Candace Parker, too, by the way.
What did she say?
She was like, he should have pulled it back, pulled it out, and dribbled out the clock.
No.
Like, no.
Go make the layup.
The problem, yeah. Shaq was like, he should have dunked that. And he's right. He should have dunked it.
He definitely
scored. Scored a bucket. Because what are you doing? The dribbling so you can get fouled and then have to make the two free, like,
yeah, no, I don't mind the take to the bat, but how many times has he made that layup in his life? 50,000?
50 million. I don't know what happened. I feel like he got it caught in between trying to lay it up and dunk it, and he just blew it.
That's just the worst.
It looked, yeah, who among us, right? It looked to me like he was so worried about, because he had pace, like he was moving.
Yeah.
Like he was so worried about slamming it off the backboard that he tried to put it up there with too much touch.
Yeah.
And just thought about it too much and left it on the rim.
That was, use the backboard, kids. That happened to me one time. I tried to go up for a dunk in a game, and I used to do like the Iverson, Scottie Pippen, you dribble it, you have it in your right hand, you kind of, you know, grip it, and not palming it because you're under the ball, but you do like this, and then you throw it down, right?
Okay.
You don't touch it with the left hand.
Yeah.
So I go to do that. And I'm going up, and as I try to grip,
it
slips a little bit, and then I tried to like guide it with the left hand and put it in, and it just front rimmed.
Oh,
oh no!
That's
CRC versus ARC at CRC, so it was a nice little crowd. They're like, ah! And then the coach was like, in the locker room, he's like, oh. You know, I don't know, because we lost the game by like one. He's like, then we got people that can't dunk trying to dunk in a game. Like, where's our focus? Da 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 da. Yeah, it was bad.
Ouch.
So I dunked the next day in practice and yelled in his direction.
Oh, look at you.
But that doesn't matter. I didn't get it done in a game and we lost by one.
He said, people who can't dunk. That's what he said. Kenny.
You know, he didn't have to say the name, man. It was only one person who missed the dunk that day.
That's tough.
Amazing.
I had to wear that one. As you can see, never forgot it.
I don't think that there's going to be a chance for Denver to play the Lakers.
Mm.
So I think
Denver's going to be 2-3. Yeah.
Yeah. Excuse me. Looks like it.
Well, Lakers can't get to 3. No, nah, because Houston's at 2 pretty good. Denver, yeah, okay.
The Lakers are only a half game back at the 3. But Houston's 2 games up on Denver and 2.5.
So that 3 is going to be Denver or the Lakers probably.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. Because
I don't think Golden State's catching LA. There is one game difference between 5 and 8 right now. Golden State is currently the 5 seed. They are a hiccup away from being on the road in a playing game.
That's so wild. Because as of right now, Minnesota's a playing team.
If you're Golden State, would you rather Denver or the Lakers be the 4 seed?
Denver.
you're Golden State.
If the better question is, if you're OKC, would you rather Denver or the Lakers be the 4 seed?
Ooh.
OKC.
Ooh.
Denver.
No.
I think it's the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you guys talked about earlier, that game slows down. And every That's possession true. Becomes Luka or LeBron.
That's true.
Yeah, but who's going to defend Shea?
It doesn't matter. That's only one guy. It's 2-on-1. If Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren aren't stepping up, that's what happened against Dallas last year.
Yeah.
It was Kyrie true. And Luka against SGA because nobody else was that's able true. To step up.
We'll have to see how they – I think they'll be a different team this year in the playoffs.
If those guys step up, it's showtime for them, though.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and KC?
Man, previewing this Kings game a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit of everything, man. Pyramids.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up.
Pyramids or ziggurats? Which one?
Conspiracy theories of D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is our producer. We're the insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back with you at 10 a.m. tomorrow right here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader. Until then, drink water. Be nice to people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.